Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We are in the book of Matthew. This will be our 26th message in this series and the 7th one concerning the Sermon on the Mount. Stay tuned for our program today. Get into Matthew chapter 6 here today. We're looking at the subject of hypocrisy. There's a lot of hypocrites around. Years ago, I read somebody said if a hypocrite stands between you and God, then he's closer. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this, that there's a lot of hypocrites around and they can be very, very discouraging. You look in the Word of God and you see that God hates hypocrisy. We read back in Amos chapter 4, verse 21, God said, I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. I will not hear the melody of thy viols. Back in Isaiah's day, in Isaiah 1 verse 11, God said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or in the lambs or of the he-goats. In verse number 15 he said, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. God is not interested in their hypocrisy, and especially religious apostasy. He said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 17, therefore the Lord shall have no joy in the young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And so God actually despises them doing the things that he commanded them to do because they were doing them in hypocrisy. Well, hypocrites are always going to be with us. From Cain, way back in the early part of the book of Genesis, with his worship and his hypocrisy, up to Absalom and Judas and the Pharisees, who Jesus called whited sepulchres, right through to Ananias and Sapphira, who were judged for what they were hypocritically holding back. We have the illustration of the wheat and the tares, which was hypocrisy. We have the wolf in sheep's clothing, more hypocrisy. We have wells without water, someone expecting to get down in there and get a drink of cool water, and it comes up dry, more hypocrisy. Well, God hates hypocrisy, and hypocrisy certainly is a discouragement to us. But the thing that we want to learn from all this is let's make sure that we are not being hypocritical in our service for the Lord. And so as we start in Matthew chapter 6, we read here that Jesus said, take heed. Now, there's a couple of important words. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, let's take a minute and look at that verse. First, he says, take heed that ye do not your alms. Who is he talking to? It is very obvious as you go down through this chapter that he is talking to Christians other than Judas, and the Bible said that Jesus knew from the beginning that he was a hypocrite, but he's talking to those 12 disciples and only to those 12 disciples. And so he says to those who are so close to him, be careful, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Make sure that your motive is right. Now, the word alms here means more than money, much more than money. It actually means your religious acts, whatever works you're going to do for the Lord, or whatever you're going to give, it includes that you do not that before men to be seen of them. Now, notice what it says, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Two things here. Number one, he mentions a reward that is in the future for those who serve the Lord, and we'll talk about more about that in a minute. But he also says, as he has said over and over again in this message, he refers to them as having a father, their father, which is in heaven. Now, he didn't say that to the Roman soldiers, and he didn't say that to the Pharisees. And it's one more verse that shows us that when Jesus was speaking to these people, he was only speaking to those people whose father was in heaven, minus, of course, Judas Iscariot, which we said Jesus knew was a hypocrite. And so in verse number 2, he says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now listen to what it says here. When thou doest thine alms, not if. It's a foregone conclusion that they need to be serving the Lord and giving to the Lord. "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet. Do not make a show as the hypocrites do." Now, he mentions the hypocrites in verse number 2. Down here, when he gets to verse number 5, he said, "When thou prayest," not if thou prayest, "when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." What do the hypocrites do? They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And then you get into verse 16. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So what do we have here? We have this chapter where he is dealing with hypocrisy. He gives three examples of hypocrisy. One is in the synagogues in verse number 2, and then out in the streets in verse number 2. And it has to do with them, hypocrites, when they're going to give their money or do their work, they're going to be seen of men, it says here. In verse number 1. Then the second example we have is prayer. And he says, now don't do that, verse 5, out in the streets or in the synagogues to be seen of men. And the third illustration he gives is fasting in verse number 16, where they disfigure their countenance and appear unto men to fast. He says over and over again, they have their reward. Well, someone might say, any works I do is going to be seen of men. If I'm going to be weeding the garden outside the church, or if I'm going to be ushering or anything else, I'm going to be seen of men. And he says not to do it before men. So I think I need to go off in some monastery somewhere and be, just away from everybody. That's not what this is saying. He says, when you do your good works, when you do them, it's foregone conclusion that we are going to do good works. The thing is here is that we are not to do it so to be seen of men. So what he's talking about here is motive. And as we've said before, back in the Old Testament, it had everything to do with commandments. There's all the commandments, follow them. Now in this age in which we're living, it's not the commandments, it's the Christian character we need in order to do the things that we need to do and to have the right motives in doing it. A motive is the reason for doing something. And so we have this phrase in the Bible, "ye do," 55 times. And the Bible says concerning Christians in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And so whether we're singing a solo, whether we're preaching a sermon, whether we're weeding the garden, whether we're working in the nursery or on a bus route or anything else, we need to make sure that whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. He says here in verse number 1, "otherwise ye have no reward." Reward. We're going to look at that in a minute. Now, remember, chapter 6 is dealing with hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy here means like an actor acting out something on a stage. Well, what it comes down to is our heart. What it comes down to is our motive. And all of the Sermon on the Mount here deals with the heart. That's what it's dealing with. So if our motives are right, we have Philippians 4:18 that says, "what we do for God is a sweet-smelling sacrifice, acceptable and well-pleasing to the Lord." If we're doing something with the wrong motives, as these hypocrites were that are called Pharisees here, in Isaiah 65:5, it says, "these are what their efforts," he said, "these are smoke in my nostrils." Now, I don't know if you ever had smoke in your nostrils or not very pleasant. So it isn't a case of not doing any works. Jesus said, I do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. John 4:34. Let's keep in mind, it's his work. John 6:38. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now to be Christ-like is to have the same focus. John 7:16. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. We need to make sure that our doctrine is that we get from God. And of course, we get that from the Word of God. John 8:42, Jesus said, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me. We've got work to do. It's just our motive is, are we doing it before God or are we doing it before men? John 12:49, Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Now, when he's saying something, he's talking and communicating with somebody. The word speak here means when he's preaching or teaching in public, he said, I got it all from my Father and I'm just delivering it to you. And that's what we should be doing when we say something or when we speak today. So again, in verse 1, we have your Father, which is in heaven. We find that 16 times in this message. Jesus wanted us to understand he was talking to Christians whose Father was in heaven. In verse 2, he said, therefore. Now, we've said often, if you see the word therefore, stop and ask yourself what it's there for. The word therefore appears 1,237 times in the Bible. 49 times of those are in Matthew, and 13 of them are in this portion of scripture, this passage in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And again, one other time, the Greek word is translated then rather than therefore. And so 14 times in this message, he has the word therefore. And it's always pointing back to something that has just been said. And what has just been said here is that he is referring to our reward that is in heaven. He's pointing back to the reward in verse 1. Now in verse 2, he said, the hypocrites, they have their reward. They have their reward. But concerning Christians in Matthew 5:12, you'll find the phrase, your reward. Matthew 5:46, what reward have ye? Matthew 6:1, ye have no reward if we don't do it God's way, he said. 6:2, they have their reward. 6:4, the Father shall reward thee openly. 6:5, they, the hypocrites, have their reward. Chapter 6:6, the Father will reward thee openly. Then he said in the next verse, chapter 6:16, they have their reward. And then 6:18, but the Father shall reward thee openly. And it's an interesting thing. We should not do what we do for rewards. But one thing we need to understand is that we will never outgive God, regardless of whether we're giving money or whether we're giving time. If we're doing it with the right heart attitude and we're doing it to glorify God, then we will never outgive God. Paul the Apostle put it this way, Hebrews 12:1, let us run therefore the race that is set before us. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I, but not as one that beateth the air. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And in verse 8 he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, there's the reward, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And he said in the next verse, and not to me only, but to all them who love his appearing. Well, it's a good idea if we just get our focus off the things of this world. And remember, years ago when I was a young Christian, I used to sing that little song. I remember them singing it in Sunday school, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. Well, that's the way we ought to be. We got work to do till that trumpet sounds. We need to get busy, but let us take heed that we do not our alms before men, that we may be seen of them. Otherwise, we have no reward of our Father which is in heaven.